2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Happy New Year, everybody! This is Frank Sasso coming at you on this Godcast. Oh, I almost said on this Godcast Q&A. It's not the Q&A yet, but do stay tuned for that. Hey, partners, subscribers, members, listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. And a special welcome to you, the first-time listener. Just tuning in, however you found us. You found us. Here we are.
Glad you're here.
Glad you're here. With me today, exactly... Literally. 1 year ago today, Keith Axum and I recorded a Godcast on January 3rd, 2013. A year later, he sits here with me with a cup of coffee in my home, and we're doing it again.
We're doing it again.
January 3rd, 2014.
It's like a testimony. Do it again.
This is going to be a very cool Godcast because we are going to revisit. I'm going to take you down memory lane, Keith. Hey, listen, Christina is in the other room. She's monitoring us so we don't sound drunk when we actually record this.
Yeah.
About that.
Some people have thought maybe we're having a little too good of a time. Like, like we sound a little tipsy. I'll tell you, if we're drunk in the spirit.
Yeah, well, that's how we always are.
Yeah. I guess if people don't know you, but this is just how we are. We get together, we talk about God. We get on the phone. We start, like, screaming. This is great. Yeah, I love it. This is great. I mean, that's that connection thing. I mean, we've had that forever.
Yeah.
It's just...
So we're not
we're
drunk.
Just excited.
Yeah, we're excited about the Lord.
Talk about God.
Isn't it sad that you got two guys excited about the Lord, and they're laughing, and they're accused of being drunk? I mean, the same thing happened to the disciples. Well, several, and they weren't doing a podcast, but they were out there. And it's like, who are these idiots? These guys are drunk. They're talking in other languages, other tongues. They're drunk.
I think Peter had the recorder. Okay, guys, all right, talking to this.
That's right. So, Christina, we're not drunk. Okay?
Teresa, not drinking.
Right. I'm eating a wonderful scone that she made, and I'm having some coffee here along with you. So if you hear any slurping, please disregard it. I may not edit it out.
Beautiful.
I want to thank you first, Keith, for not totally stepping all over my intro like you did last year. Does this bring back any memories? Everybody, this is Frank Sasso from A History with God Ministries. I'm laughing already. I'm here. First of all, let me welcome all of the listeners, our partners, our friends, our members, our family. Keith, I'm trying to do our intro. I'm here with my good friend Keith Axum, and he's already starting. So thank you very much for not stepping all over my intro. I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? I remembered that.
And you didn't know I was going to actually play that.
I didn't know that.
No. Well, amen. 2014.
It was the best year I ever had.
See, now you said that last year.
I did
before the
year
started. That 2013 was the best year you ever had, that you were speaking that then.
I was prophesying.
And it was only January 3rd.
Amen.
How would you answer this question if somebody said to you, how could you possibly say 2014 was the best year you've ever had and it's only 3 days into the new year?
Because I am prophesying, I am speaking, I'm calling things which are not yet as though they were. I'm just speaking what the Word says because God is always bringing us to a place of triumph.
Mm-hmm.
So we are coming, as we come along the natural timeline, we are coming to that place of triumph. It's already happened in the spirit. God sees the whole thing. It's already happened. It's like we're made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are sitting in those heavenly places. So these things have already happened. And by speaking them, we're just bringing it into the natural. We're agreeing with what has happened in the spirit.
Right.
So we're just saying, hey, this has happened. Jesus did it. It was finished. I am blessed. I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham.
Right.
And now I am just speaking that, and I'm walking forward in that as though it's already happened, even though I haven't seen the whole thing. I haven't seen every bit of that. But I'm speaking that as though it's here and it's coming. And I will see it in the natural.
Amen. Now, I asked you that question 365 days ago. Let's see how you answered it then. Let's see if anything's changed in your speech.
That's going to be a great year. I mean...
Why do you say that? Is that prophetic or...
Well, I think that's prophetic, and also it's just scriptural, because God is always bringing us to a place of triumph. So that salvation is what the Lord came to give us. Prosperity, healing, deliverance, soundness, all these things. And if we're not there and we don't see it in the natural, then we're on our way there to seeing in the natural what has already happened in the spirit. So 2013 was the best year I ever had.
Wait a minute. 2013 was?
It was.
The best year you ever had?
It was the best year I ever had.
It's the first week of January.
Amen. I'm speaking that now.
So you're speaking already what hasn't happened as if it already happened, because Amen. It has already happened in the spirit.
Romans 4:17, amen. God calls things which are not as though they were. I'm doing the same thing.
You're doing the same thing your father does.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Sounds like a kind of similar vein there, doesn't
Sounds
it?
Sounds like I just played it before when I asked you and then played it again.
I just said it slightly differently, but... in essence, it's the same.
Amen. That is awesome stuff.
It's tremendous. 2013 was the best year I ever had last year, and now 2014 is the best year I ever had. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're looking forward to 2014?
I can't wait.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. It's the third. I can't wait to see the months just roll along and see what's going to happen this year.
Is there anything that you could say to the listeners, maybe, that something that we can maybe do to help usher in the best year of our life that was 2014?
Calling things which are not as though they were.
Okay.
Letting the cares of the world roll off your back.
Right.
And speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit. And those will help you not only this year or last year or next year. Those will help you anytime.
Just throughout your days, weeks, and months of any year.
Yeah. It's just those things are going to help.
Indulge me.
Yeah.
I asked you that question last year. I'd like to hear what you said last year. Let's see.
Is there anything we can do in ourselves to fulfill 2013 being the best year we ever had?
Absolutely. We can call things which are not as though they were.
All right, so speaking.
Yeah.
So your words are very important.
We can pray in the spirit.
Okay.
Praying in the spirit, that is something I think that even spirit-filled believers do not take advantage of, even me, as much as we should, really praying in the spirit. It's God's language. It's evidence God is in us, praying in the spirit. And praying in mysteries, it's praying a perfect prayer and brings us rest. So these are all things that are important. We need to take advantage of that. And letting the cares of the world slide off our back also would be a good thing to do this year.
So those three things, speaking that which is not as though it was.
Right.
Praying in tongues.
Right.
Praying in the spirit.
Yep.
And keeping the daily stress of life off of our backs.
Yep.
I would almost think that you went back, listened to all this, knew what questions I was going to ask. I mean, you said those. That was pretty much in order, if I'm hearing this right.
That was in the same order. I mean, there's a common thread here.
Yes, there is a common thread.
I'd say.
Which says something. There's nothing new that has to be done.
Nothing new under the sun.
There's nothing new under the sun. Even under the S-O-N sun.
No.
Why? Because it's already finished.
It's already finished. It's a finished work. It's done. It is over. It's finished work. Finished is finished. It's not like part of the way there. It's not like getting there. It's like all the way there. And when Jesus did it, it was finished.
Amen.
So that we might be blessed, that we might have those things that he died for. So, and that ushered in the new covenant.
Right.
Interesting, even while Jesus was alive, it was still old covenant. People don't necessarily look at it that way. I'm just saying the whole time that he walked on the earth, it was still old covenant.
Right, because he hadn't died yet.
Yeah. Prayers of repentance. They were still under the law, really, at that point. He ushered in the whole new covenant. he ushered in what the whole Old Covenant had pointed the way to, which was Jesus. The whole of the Old Testament is pointing the way to Jesus.
Yeah. I have a question for you, and this may stump you a little bit. I want to try and stump you. In the book of John, John says, confess your sins, and the Father will forgive you, right?
Right.
That was after Jesus died, John said that. Mm-hmm. If everyone is already forgiven, then how is it when you confess your sins, God forgives you then? Like, it almost sounds like if you do this, God will do this. And if Jesus already came and already died for our sins, and we're already forgiven, we just have to take part of that, what Jesus did on the cross was for us, that redemptive work, then how is it that God will forgive us when we confess our sins?
Well, I think one to another, I think it's a way of kind of keeping our conscience clean. It's not really forgiving our sins. We're already forgiven, but it's a way to keep your conscience clean. I've also read some other things about the Gnostics having some things to do with at that time, and that's why those things were done. But it's
you mean the way it was worded?
The way it was worded, right?
Yeah, okay.
So it's not a situation where, I mean, clearly, if we have to confess our sins one to another,
right,
to be forgiven, then we have a problem. Then we're saying what Jesus did was not enough,
right?
And Scripture interprets Scripture. The whole body of work points to everything that we need to know. It's interpreting Scripture by other Scripture. So no Scripture stands alone. You can't just look at one verse and say, oh, okay. You've got to look at the whole body of work. The Bible's a big book.
It is a very big book. And as far as your sins being forgiven, you've already been forgiven of. And it can't even affect your future. It can't affect the days to come, your past, your sins. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're already forgiven, and God will not have a sin conscience, nor will he hang out in the presence of sin that was already been paid for. Right, exactly. It actually reminds me of something you said last year. You said the following.
There's things that have happened in our past. Past performance is no indicator of future results.
Past performances are no indicator of future results. I like that.
Yeah, well, we weren't redeemed at one point either.
We weren't redeemed.
We weren't. And now we are. And whatever happened before has no bearing with whatever happens after that. Not in God's eyes, certainly. And it shouldn't be in our eyes either.
Well, then why are people so caught up with the whole what they can do now? Or feeling guilty, or feel like they haven't done enough to earn their forgiveness?
It's what they've been taught.
Oh, just bad teaching.
It's religion.
Yeah.
Religion creeps in. Look, by and large, the things that we believe, we hear from people we respect. You have a pastor or whoever, and you trust that person. Basically, you go by what they say. Mm. Whenever we accepted the Lord, whether it was as a teenager or whether we're in our 20s or 30s or whatever, once we accepted the Lord and started going to church and started hearing the things preached, those things started to be the things that we understood as being true, because it was the guy up there with the robe on, or he was the authority, or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And so whatever he's saying must be
true. Whatever he says goes.
Because he's up there. Unfortunately, it's not really that way. You can be in a good church, and you can be in a bad church. You can have a good teacher. You can have a bad teacher. And some people, I'm convinced, they don't even know that they are speaking the wrong thing. They actually believe it.
Yeah.
But it's the works consciousness. It's such a human element that I have to work to get someplace. What, I just say something and I'm just forgiven and everything's changed?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, well, if you have that heart change.
That's
exactly.
That's it. You're right.
Because he did it all.
You know, it's so funny how all the Godcasts that we do, week after week after week. Listener, if you go back and you listen to somebody, we're all saying the same thing. We're practically saying the same thing. What you just said, I have this queued up right now. Where do you hear this? What Keith just said, this is from a year ago today. Listen to this.
It's something that brings you rest.
Amen. Amen to that. That's a good
word. Why is God going to tell us to work? The whole New Testament is based on grace. Now he's going to tell you to work. You know, that just comes back to grace and works being incongruent with each other.
Right.
So it would seem like it's work.
But when I say faith without works is dead, that's not what we're talking about. That's not the kind of works we're talking about.
No.
Talking about trying to get there.
Even that, I think people look at that incorrectly. You know, the works are always an outgrowth of the faith. The works comes naturally. When you're doing it, it's almost not like works.
Because
you're glorifying God. It's something that he has put in you. It's not even work anymore.
So the works that we do unto the Lord, we do that because we know who we are. We serve. It just comes out of our spiritual character to do that. It's not like we're trying to gain something or earn something or because we think we could try and qualify for righteousness or anything like that. Right. It's because the works we do are faith-based because by faith we are saved. By faith we are the righteousness of God. So by faith we're going to act accordingly in our behavior, and that would be to what? To serve, to minister, to make God cast, you know, whatever. The works we're talking about is more like the works that people think they need to do to qualify or to earn or to make right on their own without looking to the cross and looking at the redemptive work that Jesus did for them.
Right. Yeah, like I've got to do everything right. I've got to appear a certain way. I've got to be holy.
Uh-huh.
I've got to have a certain thing about me that makes me holy. It's like a Pharisee.
Exactly. It's something that you're going to add. It's like my wife did that podcast on Nothing But the Blood. It's like Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. If it's nothing but the blood, then that's it.
See, that's where the devil's in the details. Because it's totally demonic. The devil is always saying, look, you're not good enough. Look what you did. Look what you did this week.
Yeah, you think God is happy with that? You think he's going to hang out with you doing that?
Yeah, look how you spoke to that person. Look how you know, that was a white lie over there. Look how you know, God's not going to accept you. You're not good enough.
Oh, man.
And that's the spirit of self-condemnation, but praise God, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Amen. I love that thing I heard Kenneth Copeland say once. Here's the definition of grace. Grace is God's desire to treat you like sin never happened. So if it's his desire to treat you like sin never happened, that means that sin did happen, and it's his desire to overlook it and treat you as if you never did sin. Even if you're sinning, his desire is to treat you as if you didn't sin.
Yeah.
As if sin was, oh, that's good stuff.
Well, case in point, we were sitting around the other day, and somebody was saying, it's somebody who saved, and I was off doing drugs.
Yeah.
And my life was a mess.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And what did the Lord say to you?
The Lord said to me, he kind of whispered in my ear, he said to me, what is she talking about? He said it in such a way like he really wanted to, he really did not know.
And you absolutely burst out laughing.
Oh, it was hysterical. This person kept talking, and then she stopped, and then there was like a beat of silence, and he goes, what is she talking about? I can't even do it right. It was the funniest thing in the world because it just shows, well, number one, his timing is great. The inflection of his voice was hysterical.
But I was thinking about it, but the real message behind that
Yeah,
was,
here's the meat behind it.
He did not remember.
Yeah, he didn't remember.
Because that person was washed clean.
Yeah.
And the sins are as far as the east is from the west.
That's it. I love
it. It's gone. So you can stand before God with a clean conscience. How are you going to come boldly to the throne if you don't have a clean conscience?
You can't. Because here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. There's nobody that good. So it doesn't make any sense. We don't have that mental capacity to wrap our heads around the fact that we sinned and God took care of it and now you're perfect.
Yeah.
You're innocent. Because we still know all the stuff we did. Why? We focused on it. So we know about our past.
Right.
It's very hard to get a hold of that. Your cells, all your things, everything, your molecules, they start bumping into each other. It gives you a headache.
And no matter how good we are, who wants to be the best sinner ever to go to hell? If you put yourself under the law and you haven't accepted the Lord, then you are under that law.
Yeah.
And no one's going to meet that standard of godliness. But praise God for Jesus who did it all.
He did it all, man.
Now we can walk cleanly. We can come boldly to the throne. That's why keeping a clean conscience is important, because God will never condemn us. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but we'll condemn ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And the devil will jump all over that. He'll be like, no, you know, you haven't done good enough, and you'll start buying in because your conscience is telling you, I haven't been good enough.
Yeah.
And so subtly you're thinking, you've missed the I'm the righteousness of God part.
Right, absolutely.
When we're always the righteousness of God.
And this is all we ever usually talk about, is this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, which is cool, because listen, a year ago, listen to this conversation a year ago today.
Just because I have unlimited, unparalleled grace operating in my life doesn't mean now that I'm allowed to go and sin and do whatever I want. Now, if I do sin, yeah, I'm already forgiven.
Right.
But it doesn't give me a license to sin because of grace.
Right.
And I say it all the time, that's like my new thing. The people who are saying, oh, those these people preaching on grace, they're giving people a license to sin. I think it's the people preaching on sin that are giving people a license to sin.
Yeah.
Because they preach on sin all the time.
Yeah.
It's not, always in front of you.
Now you're going to start focusing on that.
Right. So we never change what we're talking about.
Nah. The story doesn't change. The words may be a little different, but the song remains the same.
I love it. I'm going to play a clip, and then I want to share on something that had happened after we said this. Okay? Check this out.
It's like, don't think of a pink elephant.
That's all I'm thinking about.
That's all I'm thinking about. Elephant. Yeah, I'm thinking about a pink elephant. Do not think about a pink elephant. Yeah. Now all day you're like walking around with that image in your head.
That's right. Exactly.
Say don't. There's,
and now you just want to do.
That's right. There's that thing which says, who says I can't? Who says don't? Don't you tell me don't.
That's right.
I'm gonna. You know. So you don't want to focus on not sinning. You just want to focus on being in fellowship with the Father.
Right.
And glorifying God, and that brings you back to a right place.
Right.
Where you need to be.
Okay. So that pink elephant line. After that time that we recorded this a year ago today, 6 months later, Christina and I, we find ourselves in Turnersville, New Jersey, doing a 3-day conference there to a church. And as I was preaching on Sunday of those 3 days, the name of the sermon, if you will, I entitled it Pink Elephants.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
And that's actually a Godcast now. It's actually a 2-part Godcast. Go on the website right now, click on archives in the Godcast directory, and you'll see 2013. Scroll down to like June or July. You'll see Pink Elephants Part 1, Pink Elephants Part 2. That actually turned into a whole sermon, Pink Elephants. I started preaching about that word.
So prophetic, wasn't it?
It was prophetic. That was totally prophetic because in January of 2013, a year ago today, when we recorded that, that message that I preached 6 months later was being preached right there. Only to be preached again 6 months later without me even knowing it was a message that was going to be preached. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up because here we are, 2014. I'm going to read you some words that have been prophesied for this year. Now, one of the things, I'm going to start with this. We had gotten a word from our pastor, Pastor George Pearson, in Fort Worth, Texas. Eagle Mountain International Church. We are e-members of that church. We belong to that congregation online. Riley Stevenson goes there. You know, okay, you guys all know who Riley is. All right. George Pearson gave a word from Kenneth Copeland, which we totally, like, took and bit into, saying that the year 2014 is the year of victory over death and the year of the manifestation of love. That got me excited. That got both of us really, really excited, Christina and I. So much so that we started doing a 30-day confession that this is the greatest Christmas of our life. This is the greatest and most joyful Christmas ever. Mm-hmm. And we put it out on devotion for 30 days. People started declaring this over their life. You wrote a few of the devotions about it.
Yeah.
About, look, this is what you do. This is what you say. What are you believing for? And we started getting testimonies like crazy in our email and on iTunes. And Christina and I are going to read those testimonies to you right after this episode is over. Just stay tuned for the Godcast Q&A, a special edition of the Godcast Q&A. I know Christina's pumped. Where do you hear her?
Awesome testimonies.
Good stuff. I mean, you read them.
Yeah.
That is the battle cry for 2014. 2014 is the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This morning, Tim McDonald, our director for church leadership training, he sent us an email that says, everyone is talking about the best years. And by everyone, he's meaning like believers in the body, prophets that are in the body. Everyone is saying about the best year yet, and like never before is another one, okay? This is from Rick Joyner that Tim McDonald sent over to us. Check this out, Keith. In terms of 2014, having the best year yet does not depend on what happens in 2014 as much as it does on how close we get to the Lord.
Mm.
That sounds like praying in tongues like never before.
Mm. Spending time.
Spending time with the Father,
hanging
right?
Out.
Psalm 16:11, this is still Rick Joyner's word. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. You can know that this is your calling because it is the calling on each of God's people. It is God's will for 2014 to be your best year yet full of more peace and more joy than you have ever experienced before, because he is calling you to draw closer to him. Every year thereafter is supposed to be even more full of the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, because it's your calling to get even closer to him. So all we have to do is follow him and resolve that we are going to fulfill our highest purpose as human beings, to love him above all things and to love one another. Now that's from Rick Joyner. Mm. And I see what Tim is saying about everyone's calling it the best year, the greatest year. Jerry Saville had a word, the year of greatness, or the greater year. Billy Brim had a similar word, Kenneth Copeland. And now he's saying the best is yet to come. Our pastor George Pearson and Terry Copeland Pearson's in Texas, they're saying like never before. Mm. So like there's this culmination that is happening around this year being the greatest one yet.
Amen.
I got a text from James Okore, who runs Youth Avenue with Mary Okore, his wife.
Right.
He's also the director of Youth Empowerment for A History with God. Read this text that he sent to me today. Read this.
2014 is greater than 2013. Isaiah 58:14 is what the Lord spoke to us. For 2014, may you ride on the high hills of the earth and inherit your portion.
Nice.
That's a word. That's a good word.
That is a great word.
Wow.
That's a good, encouraging word, and I'll take that. I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Matter of fact, I just did.
Yeah. I'll take it. I'll keep taking it.
Before you got here today, I got a phone call. You remember Brother Terrence Clark on the podcast, Hot Off the Press, Part 1 and 2?
Yes, I do.
Great man of God. He called me up. We just start talking. I'm like, Terrence, what's going on? He goes, Brother, the word of the Lord came to me, and I want to tell you what this word is. I said, do you mind if I record it? He's like, go right ahead. I now give you this word from Terrence himself right now. Listen to this.
The Lord said this. He said, have your people get their house in order. They need to check where their trust is at, because it's coming to the families in the body of Christ in America. It's coming in apostasy. There's nothing wrong with working a job and getting a good paycheck. He said, there's nothing wrong with even using a credit card if you use it wisely. He said, there's nothing wrong with having a car note. And he said, nothing wrong with those things in their spell. He said, but your trust cannot be in those things. Check yourself where your area of trust is at, because there's something coming that is going to challenge the body of Christ. It's actually coming on the whole world. But it's to check the body of Christ where your level of trust is at.
Ooh, Terrence, man. That was a good word.
Smoking. That was powerful.
I'm going to transcribe that and put that on the site.
That's one to chew on.
Well, I mean, it is. Who are you trusting?
Amen.
What are you trusting?
Yeah, what are you trusting in? And especially when things don't look like they're going right.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to trust in our job, our position in life, or who we know?
Yeah, right.
Or are we going to trust in the inerrant word of God?
That's it.
It's like Kenneth Copeland always says, you got to put the word first.
That's right.
This has got to be first and foremost in your mind above anything else
right
that might come to you. Because again, spiritual battle, the devil's going to try to get you off track. And when you're hearing, you know, you really messed up this time.
Yeah.
You are in trouble. Oof. Big time. There's no way out of this.
Man, oh man.
That is not God talking.
No, it's not.
So unless you know the word inside, outside, backward, forward, unless you spend time with Jesus, because out of that, love comes.
Yeah.
And then out of that, confidence comes.
That's right.
And we don't want to cast away our confidence, because there's great recompense.
Recompense of reward.
So actually just spending time with the Lord, spending time in the word, ultimately love comes, and then confidence is birthed out of that. I mean, the world has a lot of things to offer. We're here to enjoy all things.
Which aren't all bad.
No, God has given us richly all things to enjoy.
Right.
But our ultimate enjoyment is through him.
Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things.
That's right.
Whatever.
He's the one providing the enjoyment for all these other things.
Right.
So our focus, we've got to be more God-focused than we are world-focused.
Right.
And that's That's what it comes down to.
Because
saying you got to lock yourself in a closet and be a monk and pray in the spirit for like 3 days straight, although maybe you want to.
Is that what monks do? They lock themselves in a closet?
It's quite possible.
I don't know. We're not going to go on record as being monk experts.
I've heard that monks may do that. But maybe God's calling you to do that. But spend some time with the Lord. Spend time in the Word. The more you do, the more you want.
Yeah.
It's like I was talking to Teresa the other day. It's like,
what was she saying?
At some point, she was like, I don't even want to read anything else. She used to read a lot of Christian fiction and a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I just want to read the Word.
Yeah.
That's like all I'm hungry for.
Yeah, amen.
Right now. And that's how you get. Because
it is. It's very
God is not boring.
No.
I mean, if you're reading the Bible and it's just a book, and I've heard that before, and I went through this years ago. It's like, none of this stuff ever happens. What good is it? But when you get it into your spirit that you just want more and more and more, because that word that you're reading, that's Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Jesus talking to you.
Yeah.
So he'll talk to you in different ways. He'll talk to you in the still, small voice. You, he talks to audibly. He'll talk to you as you read through the word. But he wants the fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
He wants the fellowship. And the more you seek him, it's like a dance or a romance. You know, you pursue him. He's pursuing you at the same time.
Right, exactly.
And it's exciting. You know, if you think that the word is dull, it's boring, it's all religion, you're just missing it somewhere. You know, ask the Lord to show you. But it comes down to spending time.
Amen.
Do you have a relationship with your wife if you don't spend time with her?
No. There's no way you can maintain a healthy relationship, or any relationship for that matter, by spending 10 minutes in the car every other morning talking to your spouse.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you know God the Father and his Son, Jesus, whom he has sent, that you know them, that you know them.
Right.
That you relate to them, that you relate to him, that he relates to you, that mm-hmm. you have a relationship. Then that's what the difference is between all the religious thought, all the religions in the world, which is I'm trying to make my way to God, and
right.
Christianity, which is where God made himself like us so
right.
that he could communicate with us and have a relationship.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right?
Right.
Show us the Father. Well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
We have it all through Jesus.
Amen. We do have it all. Keith, for people to get the revelation that this was the best year they've ever had, the same revelation you have, for them to get that revelation, what can they do? Would it be the same three things that you said last year?
Well, I would say start speaking the word. God spoke the world into existence, so speaking is a way that God created to make things happen.
Okay, well, what if someone hearing this says they speak the word? I've seen that Bible. It's thick. What do you mean, speak the word?
Well, it's like the verse I used before. God is always bringing you to a place of triumph. Like that word. God is always bringing me,
what?
Bill, to a place of triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. God is always bringing me, Jane, to a place of triumph. Because if you're coming to a place of triumph,
what?
Then why can't you speak that? Why can't you just confess, this was the best year I ever had?
Okay.
Your spirit already has that, and now you're bringing your flesh or your soul, your soulish realm, into agreement with your spirit.
Gotcha.
Your spirit's already perfect. Your spirit has it all over here.
Okay.
Now you're bringing that soulish part of you into agreement with the spirit.
Gotcha.
And when you totally agree with your carnal mind, if it were, with what the spirit is saying, and your soul and your spirit are in agreement, then boom. Then
okay. You
see, you will have what you say. Jesus said, right, Mark 11:23, speak to this mountain, you know, move here, be cast out into the sea, not do not doubt, but believe. Then you'll have what you say, but he says, speak, you who say to this mountain, you who speak to this mountain. So speaking is powerful. This is the vehicle that God created for us to be creative, to call things which are not as though they were.
Idle words.
Yeah. So, and Jesus is the word. So words have value. They have importance.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, not saying like, I just can't do this, or I'm no good at that. I've never been good at this. So you're
never
basically,
will be.
Yeah, you're basically cursing yourself.
Sure, this is the worst. This is going to be the worst year. Yeah, if I'm going to,
yeah,
if there's
nothing
two
good
potholes on the street, I'll hit them both.
Yeah, but people think that's funny. That's the story of my life. Everything goes wrong.
Well, that's back to the podcast from last week about being
like,
an optimist and
like
a pessimist.
If you say so.
Yeah.
If you say so, you know, I'll never get that promotion. Well, if you say so.
That's right, because it is if you say
so. Because you are saying it.
So, if you say so, then that's how it'll be.
If you say so.
You just decreed it.
Yeah. Hmm. So you got to speak.
Speak the word.
I get up speaking. You know, I ride in my car, I'm speaking.
I could definitely add to that. If you let's say you have a financial issue, what you do, and I don't mind saying, I don't have a problem saying this. Go on google.com and type in financial scriptures. And then look up all the scriptures that God has to talk about, that he has something to say about finances. Look those up and start, put them on an index card and speak those scriptures every day. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see it happen. You're going to watch it happen.
Amen.
What else?
Just maintaining a clear conscience for the same thing I had mentioned before, because our hearts will condemn us.
How do you do that?
Well, when you blow it, just repent quickly. You know, make up with whoever it is, if it's a relational kind of thing. So, and just move on. Get it out of the way. You're already cleansed. The blood's already cleansed you. Mm-hmm. You get it out of the way, expose it, bring it out to light so that the devil can't mess with you. And just move on. Amen. Move forward.
Okay.
Because then you won't walk around feeling condemned, even though God hasn't condemned you.
Right.
You've condemned yourself.
Now
the devil's all over that.
Oh, sure. You open the door for him and he's like, wow.
Yeah, you're slaves to whom you obey, Romans 6. So if we blow it, just confess it, repent, move forward. Get over it. You don't want that. The other thing is just to walk in love as much as you can, because faith works by love. And how do we please God? Through our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through love.
Love is the activator.
So that's another key thing to hang on to, because faith is going to, everything comes through faith. We're saved through faith.
Yeah.
We believe in Jesus through faith. There we have to have faith in his word. And what I mentioned before, cast not away your confidence. I know you love that scripture. Hebrews 10:35, for there's great recompense of reward. Just hang on. Hang in. Regardless of how things look, the word is the final authority.
That's right.
The word is true. Romans 3:3, let God be true, let every man be a liar.
That's right.
The word is true regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how things work or how they look in the natural. The word is the final authority. The word is true. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed.
Amen.
Now, it might look like your world's going to hell in a handcart.
Uh-huh.
It might look like they're about to repossess your house and you're losing your job and you have cancer and you're in the final throes or whatever. Anything that you can perceive that is just where your natural mind says, I'm not getting out of this. But God.
Yeah.
God's word remains.
Mm-hmm.
And his word is true, and it's always true for you. And here's the thing. Don't wait until something happens where now you've got to start confessing. Start confessing now. Or if you're going through a situation, confess now before it gets worse. Start renewing your mind through the word so that in the end you can deny those things.
Right.
Because the word is true. It's like, I deny that note on the door. I deny that letter I got. I deny that email I got.
Right.
Not that it's not true in the natural world, but it's not what God has. And God's word, in the end, is true.
It's absolutely true.
And probably another thing, and I think the Lord just told me this, is just stay in fellowship with like-minded believers.
Oh, that is vital.
Because
vital.
If you're in the wrong place with people who are speaking against the word, or they're kind of straddling, the world and the word or whatever, then that can be a detriment to you, because when light and dark mix, I think the light kind of tends towards the darkness. When it's a situation like that,
I know what you mean.
The carnal world will creep in. So
yeah, you can't be sitting on a fence like that, one leg in one yard, one leg in the other yard. You're gonna get hurt.
Yeah,
you're gonna get hurt.
And that's why I like hanging out with you so much, because we think alike and we can build each other up. I
feel the same way, sir.
Because it's out there. There's not too many people who really grasp this stuff. So that when you can have somebody who can encourage you and build you up, it's like you said the other week. I was going through something and you said, look, all you have to do is stand. That's it. You just have to stand. Mm. You stand, God will take the rest of it. It's all you have to do.
You're entering into that struggle to maintain the rest.
Yeah, maintain that rest. Entering the struggle to maintain the rest.
That's it. But you can't do that if you're double-minded. You're going to go back and forth. Mm. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not him think he may receive anything from the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not the Lord holding back.
No, no. He's done.
Yeah, Jesus he's sat down.
At the right hand of the Father.
He is sitting down.
So it's done. That's the meaning of it was finished. It's done. For 2014, we need to grasp that, speak it, and walk in it. 2014 was the best year I ever had.
2014 was the best year I've ever had.
Here on January 3rd, 2014.
14, right.
I'm confessing it. I'm speaking it. I am believing it. This was the best year I ever had.
Here's the word from Kenneth Copeland. Put your eyes where they need to be. Look at me, saith the Lord. Put my words where they need to be, in your heart and mind, saith the Lord. Demand that your mouth and your tongue of faith do its command duty to speak my word, like Keith is saying, and commune with me, for I have great plans, and together we'll get this job done. I'll organize things for you. I'll run where you've only been able to walk. I'll take you to places you've never dreamed that you would even understand. And I will bring you to a place of holiness and a place of presence with me where you don't know whether you dare speak anymore or not. 2014 is a marvelous year in the kingdom of God. It's the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love, manifested love, which is Jesus himself. I am manifesting myself, saith the Lord, in 2014 in ways that I have not done in many, many centuries. I'm manifesting myself in 2014 in ways that I have never even done on this planet. For you see, I have many things in store for this generation that have never been seen before, for it is a time for the ingathering of more souls than has ever happened on planet Earth before. The time has come, and you're in it. Hallelujah, you're in it. That's good stuff.
That's awesome.
That is good stuff. I'll tell you what.
That
to
rocks.
Kick off this Godcast Q&A, I'd like to share a little testimony. And this involves you, of course. So, we had our board of directors meeting on December 5th, which was almost a month ago today. And we needed $400 for the nonprofit status to go to the IRS. They charge $400 as a fee to process your corporation as a nonprofit status corporation. Okay. So, you know, which is good to have because that's good. You know, the people who give, they can use it as a tax deduction. There's somewhere they can sow legally. It's legally, you know, it's recognized by the government, the whole thing.
Not to mention they're planting in good ground and they'll get blessed by that.
Well, that's, of course, you're planting in great ground with the history of the God Ministries. And, you know, Chris and I were saying to the board, we said, look, we're not going to do a podcast asking people, you know, to sew. We're not going to put it out on email or on the website. We didn't say a word. We just said it amongst us, the directors. Mm-hmm. Right? You were here.
Right.
Okay. And that was that. What happened about 2 weeks later after that?
I got a letter in the mail addressed to me. And in there was a note from a listener that said they were going to sew into the ministry. There was a money gram there for exactly $400.
And what else?
We had actually spoken that.
There was something else.
Yes, there was movie tickets and but there was a card for Applebee's, I think.
Right? A card for Applebee's and a card for the movies in addition to the $400.
In addition to the $400. Right.
Like $50 worth.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way.
But that was very cool. Thank you very much. So Mr. and Mrs. M. Amen, man. Well, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Here's to 2014 already being the best year you guys ever had. And remember, we love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
This is JJ, the announcer. You've been waiting for it, and now you're gonna get it. That's right. Your testimonies from the 30-Day Confession of Salvation, Restore Relationships, Healings Manifesting, Bills Paid in Full, Sparkling Revelations, Financial Increase, Debt Released, and so much more. We're going to hear from you, the listener, about your greatest, most joy-filled Christmas ever. Frank and Christina are here, ready to dive in. Do you hear that noise? Sound familiar? Let's open up the mailbag in today's very special Godcast Q&A.
Welcome to the first Sunday of 2014! The best year we ever had! Here. Welcome, welcome!
First things first, before we get into anything here,
We want to thank all our listeners because we received some interesting and exciting news. And this is because of you guys, so We really want to thank you so much. We received a letter from
New Media Expo, NMX.
Presented by Blog World.
Yes.
And we won an award. So what we would like to do is just read you the letter that was sent to us. We got such a beautiful trophy.
Yes.
It says, Best Podcast 2013, A History with Godcast, Subcategory, Religion Inspiration.
Now, here's the letter. Dear A History with Godcast, congratulations on winning the Best Podcast 2013 for the subcategory of religion-inspiration for content and production quality. Your podcast received a total of 2,463 votes from your listeners for Best Podcast in the parent category of religion and spirituality. You won for a subcategory, which means a main category is not far off. Since this is only the 9th annual podcast awards, we think you'll be around for a long time, and we believe that you may win main category next year, the 10th annual podcast awards.
So the awards are actually tonight in, I believe, Las Vegas.
Yes.
We won't be there.
No,
but
we will not be there.
But maybe next year, right?
Well, if we win for a main category next year, then we have to go.
Okay.
And to receive the award, it'll stream live on the internet.
But we just want to thank you guys, because if it wasn't for you guys, this would not be.
Yes.
So it is because of you and because of your votes, and we just really, really appreciate that. And it's not necessary, but it is nice to get some recognition. So thank you again.
It really tells us that you guys are out there, really.
Yeah.
And that someone's listening. I mean, we do the Godcast Q&As the first Sunday of every month, and we know you're listening, but it's nice to be like, wow, people are actually voting for this podcast to be the best one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we know you're out there, too, because we have some great testimonies.
Oh, wait till you hear these. These are going to rock your world.
So here we go. This is the first Sunday of January in 2014.
Right.
And we are excited because we are vaulted into this new year.
We're
with
here.
Expectation, and we have testimonies to share and answers to some questions from the Q&A.
Yes, this is not your typical Godcast Q&A segment.
We are excited to share what you have shared with us.
Over the last 30 days.
Over the last 30 days as we vaulted into this new year. And thank you so much for sharing with us, because testimonies are just a way to say, do it again, Lord.
Do it again, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for blessing us. And thank you that we can be a blessing to others.
Amen to that.
So let's just jump right in.
Well, wait. Let me just give a little preamble. I believe in preambling. Every day for the last 30 days in the daily devotion, we had sent out that confession on the left-hand side of the screen that basically gave a confession of X amount of days until the greatest Christmas ever, most joyful Christmas. So this is now the result of you guys, the listeners, speaking that confession and your stories about
and
what happened.
Taking it. So, and it's not over. So if you're just hearing this for the first time, don't say, oh, no, I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. Every day is a new day. You can change the way you speak. You can change your expectation and fall into the blessing that is already yours through the paid for, bought for, finished work of Jesus. So.
Amen to that.
Good news for you.
So the first testimony.
Yes.
Take it.
All right. The first testimony is from Glenn. My mother smoked since she was 17 years old. She's 68 now, and 6 years ago, her doctor told her that she had COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It's a type of lung disease people who smoke can get, and it gets worse over a period of time. Anyway, she has stopped smoking after learning that it is the fourth leading cause of death.
Wow.
She prayed that God would spare her life because she repented of smoking, so she quit smoking because of fear. I told her that God is not able to hear prayers that are prayed in fear. I told her that she has a right to be healed totally because of the blood of Jesus already healing her of all her diseases. I have been forwarding her daily devotion emails. I hope that's okay.
How dare you?
Just in case you were wondering, yes, it is fine to forward those. Spread the word. And she has totally changed the way she prays, knowing it pleases God to pray with confidence in his love for her. She has been praying the word for the greatest Christmas ever and has gotten the best gift already. 4 days ago, after a series of intense tests, she has been given a clean bill of health from her doctor.
Praise God.
She hasn't been having any symptoms of COPD, and her lungs are crystal clear, as if she never smoked.
Wow.
Woo! Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for never being fearful of speaking God's truth.
Amen.
Yes, wow. Praise the Lord.
That
Thank
is
you,
very,
Jesus.
Very cool.
Yes, he paid for that already. He paid COPD so that you do not have to have it.
I like where it says her lungs are crystal clear as if
she never smoked. That's right. You are as pure as the driven snow in your body, in your mind, and absolutely in your spirit. Your spirit is immediately purified when you accept the redemptive work of Jesus. It's your body and your mind that have to catch up. Thank you, Lord. We are supposed to be walking like we're walking in the Garden of Eden.
That's
our
right.
Bodies and our minds and our spirits are already there.
And that's the definition of grace. Grace is God's desire to treat you as if you've never sinned. As if you've never sinned. Her lungs are crystal clear as if she never smoked. That is so good.
Oh,
good stuff,
news.
Glenn.
So if there's anybody out there that has a lung issue or has been given a negative report about their lungs or has smoked in the past, there's the good news for you. So take it for yourself and claim it over your own body.
Amen.
Let's make this thing exponentially produce blessing.
So cool.
All right.
Next one is from Andrew. Andrew says, my sister is born again and I am too, but not like she is. I know you could be born again a different way.
Yeah, she's crazed.
She's crazed about it. I like that. She's crazed about it. She showed me this 30 Days to Christmas article on this website and asked me to do it with her. Okay, I'll give this prayer thing a try. My sister, who loves this ministry, by the way, well, thank you very much, Sister Andrew's sister. My sister said to not just try it like it was a foreign food, but to simply confess it and receive it into my heart as God's will for me every day. That it was to bless me so that I could also go and bless others, and that God would show me the value in it. Fine.
Yes.
Okay. She calls me every morning at 6 o'clock to read it along with me over the phone, then preaches to me on speaker about it while I get ready for work. It's a good thing I'm not married because that would make for a quick divorce.
Maybe not. Maybe your wife would be right there, too.
Maybe your wife would be preaching to you. Who knows? So I did that, and it's been a little over a week now. I was just going to give up yesterday morning after what felt like the 100th time reciting this prayer thing. I went into work, and my supervisor called me into her office. It seems promotions were in order last year, but because of the economy, the company held back on giving them. She informed me that my company, which I cannot reveal, sorry, that's okay, has done so well the last 2 quarters that it was decided that 3 of the employees were being given a promotion now. And I am one of them.
Yeah.
Starting immediately today, I begin training for a position that in no way am I qualified for, but management seems to have faith in me and has not only doubled my pay, but has made it effective immediately back pay, which is basically retroactive pay, from last year's promotion that should have happened. The paycheck I receive this Thursday will be more than I normally make in a year.
Wow.
Looks like it'll be the greatest Christmas for me. I haven't even told my sister yet. I really don't want to, honestly. It'll just encourage her. LOL. Thank you sincerely and Merry Christmas. Wow.
That is so great.
Andrew, that is hot stuff, my man. And you know what? That goes right in line with that word that what couldn't be accomplished in 11 months would be accomplished in this last month.
Amen.
And you said you're getting more, a check that's more than you make in a year that you're getting in one day. Wow.
And I like what his sister said, that God's will is to bless him every day and that so that he could be a blessing to others.
Yes.
So God's going to reveal, if he hasn't already, show you the value in that, because it's not all for you. It's for you to share, even if it's just to share the testimony, because now somebody else who has been waiting for a promotion can say, hey, if God did it for Andrew, You can do it for me.
Exactly.
So,
and that's why a lot of people have a problem with the whole prosperity part of the gospel. I'm not going to say the prosperity gospel. I'm going to say the prosperity part of the gospel. Because they think I got to keep it all. So they don't want to be all greedy. And honestly, it's a thought like that that's actually greedy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a greedy thought to think you got to keep it all. So where's your mindset?
You do not have to keep it all. You can share it.
Absolutely not.
The next testimony is from Clarence. I confess this word every day, and I just received in the mail a $1,500 check for money the government owed me that I didn't even know about. And I found $500 that I thought I lost over the summer. Wow. Exclamation point. Love four it. Times. $2,000. I might just travel somewhere for Christmas this year. Thank you, and I love the Godcast. Have a great Christmas and New Year.
Go Clarence.
Thank you, Lord.
$2,000 just popped right into his hands like that.
Yes. And not, you know what? $2,000 is great. And for God, that's just a drop in the bucket. Like, he just wants to bless us and share. Think of the greatest father that you could ever imagine. Not even greater than that.
Uh-huh.
Like, he doesn't want to beat you. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to hold out on you. A good parent would want you to be prosperous and healthy.
Right.
And God is the most awesomest parent.
Absolutely.
And he also wants us to learn to share that with others. And like it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen.
He is the perfect father, and he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And you know what? When I'm enjoying something, a lot of times it's like I want to say, hey, oh, I wish so-and-so was here so we could share it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's in our hearts to want to share our good fortune. Amen.
Because it's in God's heart.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, this next one from Julie. I was so excited when I read about Kennedy finding money in his guitar that we had talked about that. Kennedy found $100 in his guitar.
Right.
Okay, so this is in response to that. Okay, I was so excited when I read about Kennedy finding money in his guitar that I prayed, God, I want that for me. As I sat in traffic this morning, I leaned over, opened my glove compartment to get my Easy Pass, and there were two $100 bills sitting right there on top of my Easy Pass. This is the greatest Christmas so far of my life. Thank you, Lord, and thank you guys for doing this word of the month. I say it every day.
You know what I think is cool is like
200, not even 100.
And again, it's like $200. That's so cool. I think it's not even about the $200 making it the greatest Christmas.
Right.
It's like, wow, God just loves me and he wants to bless me. And what he does for one person, he can do for me. And that's what makes it the great. Getting that realization,
yes,
that's what makes it the greatest Christmas.
Exactly.
I have the revelation and I'm starting to really get that into my heart that God loves me and wants to bless me.
Right.
And how exciting is that? That is good news.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Right, next one.
Oh, this guy.
This is Clyde.
This is Chris's new boyfriend. Go ahead, read Clyde's.
All right. Hey, I just listened to the podcast where Frank said his mate found money in his guitar. After hearing that, I asked God, how come I can't find money like that? Aren't I blessed too?
Amen.
I went to get my mail about an hour later, and in addition to my mail was what I thought was just another Christmas card. I opened it, and it was a Christmas card, but this card had 500 euros in it.
Oh, euros.
I quickly looked at the envelope to see the return address, and there was none. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll never ask you a question like that again. God is so good. This is a great Christmas. I emailed the ministry a picture of me with my Christmas card if they want to see it.
And if you go to the website, ahistorywithgod.com, you'll see Clyde's picture right there. If you click on that picture, it'll take you to all these testimonies with some other pictures that listeners have sent in as well. So
you'll see a picture of Clyde with his 500 euros and a big smile.
So I wonder where in Europe he is.
I assumed in the UK, but I don't know.
And he's apparently very cute. Not that I would know, but Chris said, oh, he's cute. Okay, this next one, I don't know who this is from because there's no name on it, but it's called New Wheels. So New Wheels, if you're out there, I hope you're listening, this is your testimony. I've been speaking the best Christmas word for 20 days now and got a brand new car for free. God is great.
Amen.
Wow, okay. Maybe you can, like, flesh that out a little bit. What happened? I got a brand new car for free. Okay, well.
And maybe that person was just so excited, that's all they could
do. That's all I could muster.
There's a lot of exclamation points, so, and capitalization.
I got a brand new car for free. Amen.
Alright.
Okay.
Alright, the next one is from Richard. I'm writing this for my neighbor who doesn't understand iTunes. I get it, don't worry. I'm right there with you, neighbor. She gets the devotions every day and has been speaking the 30-day word and had an experience she would like to share.
Okay.
She owed $2,000 to her utility company, and they were days away from turning her power off. And at the last minute, they informed her that she didn't owe it anymore because of a credit she was due. She had been paying approximately $100 more than she owed a month for more than a year. And the overpayments were enough to cover the $2,000. They hadn't caught it before because the overpayments were going towards a different customer's account. That customer now owes them the money she did. And she received a promotion at her job as well. She's very happy because now she can enjoy the extra income without having to give it to her utility company.
Amen.
Yes.
And that was the devil's way of stealing that promotion money.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
That's not God's job. That's
no,
the enemy's
not.
Job.
That is the enemy.
God blesses and loves. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17.
Amen. Okay.
Oh, I like this one.
This next one is from Dorothy.
Because up to this point, I think we've all been talking about finances.
Yes.
But blessings come in other forms as well.
Yes, and this is actually
part of the word.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So go ahead.
Okay, from Dorothy. My brother and I have not been speaking for 4 years because of a stupid fight. I can't even tell you what we fought about, and neither can he. I have been praying for a reconciliation now for 4 years, and nothing. I get the daily message on email and listen to the Godcasts. When I saw the 30-day prayer to say every day, I hopped right on it and started saying it every day. I gave special attention to the part where it said, relationships completely restored. 2 days ago, I prayed and then called my brother. Up until then, he wouldn't even answer the phone, and he'd make believe he wasn't home when I'd go over to his house. And you know, good for you for pursuing your brother like that. Anyway, I called him, and he answered. He told me that just before I called, he had just prayed to God for another chance with me, that he was sorry for not acting like a good brother, and that he would have the right words to say to me. He also asked God that if he made me call him right then, he promised he would answer his phone, trusting God would give him the right words to say to me. Well, the best part of this is not only did we reconcile and reconnect, praise God, but I led him to the Lord right in his own kitchen. This is the guy that would have never become a Jesus nut like me. We both live alone, and the rest of our family has long since passed on. It's only been a couple of days, but he already looks like a different person. We're going to my church's Christmas service together and even talking about getting our own house. This really is the greatest and most joyful Christmas ever. Thank you for posting this prayer. I love you guys. I love you, Lord. Wow.
That's, like, really great. So that's a good one. I mean, they're all good ones. They're all great ones. But when you hear that somebody reconciled a relationship that was broken and accepted Jesus into their life, and now they can share that, they can be a family again.
Yeah.
They're going to Christmas service. I could just imagine what that was like. Like, they're both there at Christmas service together. That is great. So we are excited for you, Dorothy, and your brother. Keep in touch and be blessed.
Wow, 4 years they didn't talk. That's
cool. Going to be really great fruit from that relationship, I believe.
I agree. And it's just the two of them now.
Yes. Mm. Well, they're going to get spiritual brothers and sisters, I believe. Spiritual family.
Yeah, and their house will always be full.
Amen. Amen. All right, the next one from Virginia. I saw a picture of the guy Kennedy holding a $100 bill on the History with God Facebook, and then I believe Christina said she found $50 right under it. What is going on? How are they finding money out of nowhere like that? Exclamation point, question, question, question. I want that. Well, I hope these testimonies are helping to answer your question.
Right.
I just, you know, I don't even know how to answer that. It's just listen to the testimonies. And then take them for yourself. meditate on the word of God. Look at the scriptures that talk, if you're interested in finances or you want a change in your finances, meditate on the scriptures that have to do with finances. Right. There's many, many of them right. in scripture. Okay, I just gave you that one, 1 Timothy 6:17 is a perfect one. You can write that out and put it on your refrigerator or put it in your wallet and expect it. Expect it. You don't want to walk around saying, oh, that'll never happen for me, because then it won't ever happen for you.
Right, that's right.
So you want to run into this new year speaking the word, speaking God's word over your finances or over any situation that you want to change, and do not give up over it. There was something that we just read, said something about it. I'd almost give up. It was a previous
testimony.
Yeah,
Andrew.
It's like, yeah, I was ready to, I did, I said it for so many days.
100 times, I felt like.
I was ready to give up. It's really right there at that point. Like, when you're almost ready to give up.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, there's no way this is going to work. Do not verbalize that, number one, and just keep standing, because it says, resist the devil and he will flee. It also says, when you've done all to stand, stand, meaning it looks like it's the bleakest situation, it's the darkest hour, you stand and you stand, and there's a worldly saying, it says, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Yes.
And another one is every cloud has a silver lining.
Right. So it's, yeah.
But I take that into scripture and just know that never give up. It's that same thing that we did the Godcast on, where it said by this time tomorrow.
Yes.
When people were eating their own children, and it looked like this is an impossible situation. And the prophet said, by this time tomorrow,
that's right,
this whole situation will turn around. So I hope that encourages you and helps you with your question.
And again, just to answer what you're saying, to reinforce it, is that it's also by this time tomorrow, you'll have your naysayers that are like, oh, that'll never happen.
Right.
And you know what? It's like Isaiah said, by this time tomorrow, you'll see this happen, but you won't partake in it.
Right. Don't listen to the naysayers, the dream stealers, and the like.
I had this one guy say to me once, he goes, I'll never wear a Rolex, ever. And I told him, well, don't worry, you never will. You're right. You will never will, so don't even worry about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ramiro is up. Here's Ramiro. I like this. There was a time when it would really anger me when somebody would say that God wants you to be rich, healthy, and happy. I hated hearing that, especially because I was poor, sick, and angry. If I wasn't rich, healthy, and happy, I thought, how could God want me to be rich, healthy, and happy if I'm not that? I had a very big ego and could never fathom that there was anything I needed to change. Because if God is all-powerful and he wanted me to be rich, healthy, and happy, then he would make it so in my life. Well, it wasn't until 3 years ago that I actually understood that God already provided riches, health, and happiness, and I have a part to play in bringing it into my life. I never got that until 3 years ago. Now, I have plenty of money in the bank, no longer deal with diabetes, and I am very happy. This podcast reinforces the entire salvation package for me every week, and I'm very thankful for that. Well, Ramiro,
that's right.
You're very welcome.
It's the entire salvation package.
Yeah, he said
it. So many Christians are walking around thinking salvation is, I'm going to heaven, and that's it.
Yeah.
And Jesus paid for so much more. He paid for all of it.
Right, which is great. You're going to heaven. Yeah,
yeah, amen. That's absolutely
great.
Oh my,
because that's more to the package. There's more in the box.
Because we're still walking around in this earth. So you want to get the benefit from all that Jesus did. You just don't want part of it. It's
right.
Like you got the benefit package. Don't you want to get the dental and the, the eyeglasses and the medical?
They get so excited about the dental, they don't even look at the rest of the book about
right.
the vision,
yeah,
about free
get,
movie
you
tickets.
You get 10 mental health days.
That's right.
They never take them. It's like, look at your whole package.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's so funny.
The next one is coming from Indonesia. Mm. So there's a little bit, I'm going to read it exactly as it is written, okay? Because I think there's a little language difference. Hello, misters. My name is Shamal. I am another brother in Jesus in Indonesia. I started a t-shirt business with my son a year ago, and it has not worked. We want to make the shirts help people with godly phrases and wordings. For a whole year, we have not thought of any wordings that worked. We had printed over 2,000 shirts with different wordings, but whenever we try to sell our shirts, not anyone was buying them.
So they didn't sell any. Okay.
My church pastor even counseled me to close it all down.
Nice.
We were going to close it down, and then we found your website. We were searching for godly topics to use on our shirts. I click on the website banner saying, "By this time tomorrow with Christina Sasso, click here to listen." My son and me both listened to the woman, Christina Sasso, talking, and we started saying loudly the words, "By this time tomorrow, expect the miraculous." Mm. My son yelled to me, "That would be the shirt we sell. God took the whole year of failings and made our t-shirt business booming with the new shirt." We made our new shirt say on the front side, "By this time tomorrow," and the back side, "Expect the miraculous." On this shirt, I printed the website name, the History with God name. It is the only shirt we did not put our website on. We called it our tithe shirt because it was with that shirt we were able to sell out already. So people started buying our other ones we made in the year. We have orders for over next 2 years for Buy This Tomorrow shirts. God used the ministry and Minister Christina Sasso to save our business. Look at all the pictures of our shirt, and we will do what they always say, and that is staying blessed. Always say it.
Wow. I like the woman Christina.
That's me, the woman.
Wow, that is cool.
That is so cool. And we have pictures of that, too.
Yeah, and we have shirts, actually. And they sent us some shirts.
Thank you so much, Jamal. And son, thank you so much. We gave one to Frank's sister. She wanted one.
Yes.
And we gave one to Keith and Teresa.
Yeah.
And James and Mary.
James and Mary.
Are getting them. So we're sharing your blessing. Thank you so much.
And we don't know, Jamal, if that's you in the picture or if that's your son.
We assumed that it was your son. We said, wow, what a head of hair on that.
Yeah. Either you or your son has a nice head of hair.
And
I'll tell
Frank
you
that. Was a little jealous.
I was very jealous.
Well, there's something to expect the new year. You can speak yes, your hair. Hair. Right? There you go. Wouldn't that be great
and
to
don't
see a
start,
picture?
Yeah, don't start sending me wigs, okay? That's because that's not what I'm expecting. I'm expecting my hair to grow back.
Well, then you got to start speaking that every day.
Amen.
I don't really care. I think you look very handsome.
Well, thank you very much. Good stuff, Jamal.
Thank you. So that segment was the testimonies received from you, and I know there's more out there.
Yep.
Because as this year progresses, you're going to just have more and more and more. And if you feel led to share that with us, we would love to hear it. Frank, you have a reconciliation testimony, don't you?
Yes, I do, actually. If you go back and listen to the one-year anniversary Godcast, we talk a little bit about we got kicked out of churches, blah, blah, blah. But there was this one part where there was a family issue. And after 2 years, I think it is, 2011? Yeah, September 2011.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and I have reconciled.
Right. Well, you hadn't really been speaking.
We hadn't spoken 2 years.
And
that's why that one testimony from Dorothy about not speaking to her brother for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
that really affected me. And my sister and I reconciled after 2 years, and she just spent the night the other day.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Had a great time.
She's plugged into an awesome church now.
Yeah, oh my goodness. She's really excited to serve.
So we're excited for that, because it's really about relationships. It's about people accepting Jesus into the life, walking out
mm-hmm.
what the purpose that Jesus has for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And this is the best year we ever had.
Yeah. And I actually feel closer to her than I ever have
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm. And she kind of raised you, right? Like,
well, yeah. I mean, you know, my mom raised me. Ma, relax.
But you're very close.
I know I'm going to hear about that.
Well, what I meant was
she's like another mother to me,
right? Because she was an older sister.
My older sister. Yeah.
Although she looks very young and svelte and attractive.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. So.
So. But yeah. So that's awesome, and we're looking forward to seeing more of each other and all that good stuff.
Yes. And we had the best Christmas, most joyful Christmas.
Yes, it was great.
I was so excited to be able to bless others.
Yeah.
We were so blessed. I mean, with things. I mean, not like, oh yeah, I want a lot of things. But it just, we were able to do that this year. And we were able to
do stuff and be with people.
And bless others and just share the wealth. It's very, very,
it was great.
Christmas is fun. You know, it's really a fun Christmas when you can give to everybody you want to give to.
Yes, abundantly.
Abundantly. That makes Christmas awesome, because that's a God type of Christmas, because God just wants to give.
Yeah.
And he puts that in our hearts.
He does.
So.
It's all good.
It was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Amen to that.
But it'll pale in comparison
to this.
We're already getting ready. All right.
Well, wait, hang on. Let's now transition to our regular Godcast Q&A.
It's not regular. It's extraordinary.
Okay, our extraordinary Godcast Q&A.
All right, let's go.
Starting off with Hernandez. Okay, I have $25 riding on this.
Oh, wow.
Is that a Nike fuel band on Christina's wrist in the picture on the website where she is holding that pink thing? All right, oh, that thing.
Wait.
Here
wait
it is. Hang on. Okay.
It's very handy. I keep it right here.
It's handy?
Yes, I keep it right there.
Handy for what?
When I want to hear
it. Hear that sound?
Yes.
Okay, he has $25 riding on this. Mm-hmm. Is that a Nike fuel band on Christina's wrist in the picture on the website?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you just... Now, I don't. We don't know.
I know.
If he bet against it or for it.
Yeah, we'll have to find that out.
Hernandez, let us know, brother.
Yes, I have a Nike fuel band. I got it for last Christmas.
Yes.
Yes. And it's very fun. Because I look at it and go, okay, it burns 1,400 calories. I can eat today. No, I'm kidding.
I like last night. I see you in the bedroom waving her hands. I'm like, what's the matter? She's just sitting there waving her hands back and forth. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm trying to get my calorie. I have to burn 4 more calories
to reach 3,000. I can't go to bed at like 1,398. You know, I got to at least hit the 1,400. I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness.
2 calories away.
Next one is from Nettie. This isn't really a question. I never knew what they were singing in Handel Messiah. Thanks for not only playing it on the podcast, but for posting the words. I have a new respect for that song now that I know what it is they're even saying. Great episode with Christina. She's the best. That was a good, really, really good. And that's not the only one I've heard from other people who have said putting the words up. Mm-hmm. Really help them.
Well, I think sometimes we sing the songs.
Yeah.
They're so old and they're so prevalent that we just don't even think about what we're saying. Uh-huh. So sometimes reading it, go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like if you really sit and meditate on some of those Christmas songs, it's like, oh, wow, this is really a cool song.
Amen.
The next one's from Joe. Just listen to Get a Bigger Boat. I have never heard two people having more fun talking about God before. They almost sounded like they had a bit of alcohol before posting the podcast. I loved it, though. Their love for the Lord really shows, and it's very encouraging. So funny and enlightening, too. Well, I have to say, both Teresa and I had the same thought. Now, I know they were not having any alcohol. I think part of it was their...
You're talking about me and Keith.
Yes.
That's what this is about.
Yes.
Okay.
Part of it was that it was really early in the morning. And you guys are sitting in the parking lot at Panera, which you never usually go to.
We never go to Panera. We go to Starbucks.
So it was like, oh, no, we're not at Starbucks now. We're all discombobulated. They're excited about the Lord, number one. And they hadn't had coffee yet, if you could believe that. So all those factors, they were totally excited. And I think maybe they were drunk in the spirit a little. Like,
yes.
The Holy Spirit loves to laugh.
He loves to laugh. Around.
So when Teresa and I heard it, we were like, they sound drunk. But they were not drunk, I assure you. But unless they were drunk in the spirit.
Right.
And so now, because of that, I think, if you listen to this week's Godcast, they sound so subdued.
Like because
they
best got that. Behavior.
They're like, because they know Teresa and I are listening. And like, okay, we can't like go too crazy because they're going to say we sound drunk. So I think we need to like release you from that because we don't want to hold you back or quench the spirit in any way. So, you know, just so the listeners know, no drinking is going on as we do these.
And Keith and I even address it in the very beginning of the podcast that you just heard. You want to rewind it, whatever, you know, roll it back. You can hear our take on that.
Yes.
The disciples were accused of being drunk.
That's
you know.
Right. And you know what? Talking about the Lord, walking with the Lord, experiencing the Lord should be a blast.
Yes.
It's not a heavy burden. I mean, he even says it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's fun. God loves to laugh. He loves to have fun. So feel free. Don't feel any guilt about laughing and having fun and enjoying the journey.
If it hadn't been for sin, God never would have had a serious thought.
That's right. The next one, George. There is a word by Frank on the website called, "The World is in Trouble." And right under it is the same title, but it says, "The World is in Trouble, Part 2.
Right.
Who is the woman speaking about the word Frank gave? Is it his mother? She sounds intense.
No, it is not my mother. It is another woman of God who clearly hears the voice of the Lord. And she is intense. She's very intense. She's awesome. And
she scares me a little. But I did tell her that, Joe, and she was like, what? But, yeah, so she's... a very cool lady.
Love her.
Would love to see her again.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, this is from Kevin. Oh, God, I love Frank and Christina doing the Godcast together. I love listening to their accents. What accents?
I don't know.
Accents. Love it. The Godcast is great. I've heard every show and every Q&A, but I love when Frank and Christina are on together. Well, thank you, Kevin. They are so cool. One question. Where is Keith from? Is he originally from the Pitcairn Islands? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I can't place his accent. He's not originally from the Pitcairn Islands.
Although he did say that people have asked him like a similar question. I don't know if from the same place, but he says people have noticed some kind of accent. So maybe there is something in his background. He grew up in the Bucks County area of Pennsylvania.
Right, right. Bucks County area. That's
and right. Our accents are British.
Right. Can't you tell? God.
The next one's from Kathy. I'm with Frank. I think that would creep me out if someone left packages on my porch.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think the fact that these people came to town, went to their house with presents, and a nice card is great.
It is great.
That's a beautiful thing they did for Frank and Christina. It is. What I mean is that actually coming home and there's an anonymous package there would give me the willies. Mm. That stuffed animal or whatever it is hysterical, but why is Christina holding it up against her face like she wants to eat it? I don't want to eat it. I wanted it in the picture with me, and I wanted it like a close-up.
Right.
And I think it's cute. As you can tell, I am very much loving it. The next one is from Susan. Can Christina tell the story of the dolphins? Did that really happen? Yes, that really happened.
Are you making it up?
I don't make up this stuff. This is real stuff. Yes, that really did happen. I will tell that story on another Godcast just for time's sake. So if you want to hear that, I will actually read the article so you can listen to it. How's that sound? Good?
That's good.
All right.
When do you want to do that?
I'll do it this week.
You hear that, Susan? She's going to do it this week.
Yes.
Okay, so probably on the next Godcast.
Yes.
And the last one is from Raymond. What's the craziest God story that Frank and Christina have?
I have to think about that. We should definitely do a Godcast where we include that. She also asks that question of Tim, James, and Keith. So I think that would be a cool Godcast to do in the future.
Yeah.
But you know what? They get wilder and wilder. So
yeah.
What might have been, quote-unquote, crazy a year ago might not be so crazy today.
Or we already have something to replace that one. So
you have to understand it's an ongoing...
Right.
This is what was my desire when we used to listen to Pastor Rocco in Queens. He'd have the world would say crazy stories, almost unbelievable stories, and I'd say, I want stories.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
And now we have stories. And so if you're saying, hey, I want stories...
Right.
Get ready, because you're going to have stories.
Oh, what's your craziest story? Right. You know, like you want to compare now. So.
Right, and that's fun to do, too. Like sit around a table and just share God stories.
Yes.
That is a fun day.
This was fun.
Yes.
Listening to your testimonies and your extraordinary questions.
Yes. And stories.
Keep them coming. Now, you can go to the website, again, ahistorywithgod.com. Actually, we changed it. Mm-hmm. It's still you can still go to ahistorywithgod.com, but you can also go to ahistorywithgod.org mm-hmm. as well and get the site. And you can see all of these testimonies online. You can see pictures.
And don't stop. This is a rolling right into the future with this. Don't feel like you missed it because now the holiday season is over. We are rolling right into 2014 with the same expectations, speaking the same words of blessings and reconciliations and debt cancellation. Remember, this is the year of victory over death.
And the manifestation of love.
Ooh, I want to see people raised from the dead. But that doesn't just mean physical death either.
Yeah, financial death.
Financial death. Also spiritual death.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting people into the kingdom
before
it is too late. Because we are running out of time.
And speaking about running out of time, we just did that now. So remember, until
this all day.
Exactly. Remember though, until next time, we love you. God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.